welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
Being a follower of Christ has made every problem that I've ever had go away. Thank you. Because that's a bunch of junk. I do think, though, that sometimes we think that. I think sometimes in our culture, somehow in some weird way, we've gotten into this, you're a Christian, everything's going to be great. You're going to be blessed. You're not going to ever have a problem. You're going to have so much money, you don't even know. And I don't know where that happened, but I grew up in it. I know there's substance to what that to what I'm saying, because, you know, we think that sometimes. We think that as we get into Christianity, because, you know, Jesus is the Savior of the world, we're like, oh, I'm good now. It's great. Nothing bad is ever going to happen. Nothing insignificant or, you know, frustrating. But I think enough of us have been around that we understand that that's garbage. That's false garbage. And we're going to look at that today, because it's like, what do we do? So when all the stuff, because life still happens. So when you give your life to Christ, life still happens. And that's kind of what Jesus is looking at today. So we'll start off. We've been walking through this very short, but a really intentional and purposeful series over these past few weeks. So we started 2 weeks ago with Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem, and he was laser focused on the cross, and he wasn't like taking a road trip, like, all right. He was stepping into this mission, and he had full resolve. And we were reminded that following Jesus is not about convenience. And that's difficult for us. That's so difficult for us to understand right now. And even though I'm saying it, that's still, it's difficult. It's about commitment, and there's no turning back. And then last week we saw Jesus, he sent out the 72. They were these ordinary people given an extraordinary purpose. And they were sent ahead of him, and they were called to go light, speak boldly, and trust fully. And we were reminded that we don't just follow Jesus personally, we carry his mission publicly. So we don't just follow him in this room today. It's a life, public, attention-seeking, life-altering, this is what our life is now. We're not just saved, we're sent. And we're gonna get into that today too. So we're here, and Jesus and turns to the crowd, and he says some of the hardest words that he's ever spoken that we can hear. And we learn right now that grace is free, but it does cost us our life as we know it, as we currently know it, or as we knew it. So if you'd like to please turn with me, we're going to be in Luke 14, and it's 25 through 33. We're reading out of the NIV today. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." So at the beginning here, 25 through 27, the large crowds, they're traveling with him. And Jesus starts saying, you don't hate your mother and father, we're done, essentially. What this is so Jesus is popular. So he's very popular right now. This crowd is huge. And these people are intrigued. They like his teaching. Some are probably like, oh, they're curious. So they're following him. Others may feel inspired. But Jesus doesn't say, hey, we're glad you're here. Let's go grow this thing. He doesn't do that. He turns around and he looks them in the eye. He looks them into the eye. And then all of a sudden that crowd thins real fast. If you don't hate your family, if you don't carry your cross, you cannot be my disciple. So we have to be understanding right now that Jesus is not being cruel. And this is strong language that he's using, but it's hyperbole. He's not literally saying, go and despise your mom. Okay? What he's saying is that if your love for me does not outweigh every other allegiance, even the deepest human ones, it's not enough. And Jesus, you see, he doesn't want to be first in your life because we think that. That's what our life is. We have a list. What are we doing today? What are we doing after church today? Well, probably gonna go get some lunch, gotta go get the kids, take a nap, you know, whatever. What are we doing tomorrow? Everything is a list. So therefore, I think sometimes we see our walk with God and Jesus as, well, he's first on my list. Mm-mm. That's not it. He is the list. So, and we have to understand that. We have to understand that he's not the list that we're writing, but he's the paper at which we write the list on. And if we start to understand it, then that starts to shape and shift our lives for him. He wants to be central. He's worthy of being, that's what this is. Everything else, so your relationships, your identity, your dreams, your pursuits, it all flows. So once we get that list on that paper, that is him, everything else flows out of it because it's all centered on him. So it's, again, he's not on he is the list, okay? He's the paper. So he turns around and he says, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So there's a two-part thing. So we get the whole, yeah, I should be first, all right? There's that, but there's that second part. And that you got to take your cross and follow me. Because it's so stinking easy to say, I love God. I love Jesus. I got a bumper sticker, right? It says, honk if you love Jesus. You know, and I go to church and I am bought in. So that is like, that's like a fan. That's a love. You know, when we pick up our cross and we follow, we're not a fan, we're now on the team. When we say carry your cross, that's been thrown out a lot because this is so central. So it's purposefully been given to us. It's intentional, but I think we've kind of like, oh, carry your cross. You know, spilled coffee. You know, or it's like a tough boss or something like that. But when Jesus said this, it wasn't like the symbol of hope or a cross necklace or, you know, just throwing this out. In that time, it was a death sentence. So when you were told to carry a cross, like you literally carried your cross to go and get crucified. It meant humiliation. The cross meant public shame. It meant walking while you were being beaten and broken and you were walking towards your execution. And that's what is meant. That's what all of this meant in Jesus's time. And everybody knew that and everybody understood this. This is intense. To have that being spoken to you, that's a hitter. So Jesus is saying, come with me, but you need to count the cost because this will cost you everything. Why would he say that? Why would a loving Savior call us to something so costly? Why does Jesus say these hard things? Was because he knows that our real life, our abundant life, it's only found on the other side of surrender. But it's not a partial surrender. And that's really hard too, because we'll get into that. It's not a convenient faith. Okay, it's not like, well, it's sunny. I have nothing else going on. So yeah, I guess I'll go to church. You know, it's not all about church. You understand what I'm saying, though. It's this daily costly obedience. And that's where resurrection happens. It happens after the cross. That new life happens after the cross. And Jesus knows what we forget every single day, and it's that we cannot find resurrection life without crucifying the old one. So you can't cling to comfort and walk in courage. You cannot cling to yourself and receive the fullness of God. You cannot chase your version of the good life and expect kingdom fruit. Carrying your cross, carrying our cross, it's painful. And it might mean losing comfort and popularity and approval and sometimes even safety. But Jesus is not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to give you one. A life filled with peace that is not tied to your performance. We can have a life of peace that is not tied to our performance. A life of purpose that isn't built on our resume. An identity that cannot be stripped away by failure or by shame. None of this is about self-improvement, and this is not about personal growth. And if that's what you're looking for today, I'm sorry. We're not doing that. It's about dying to the life that you've built so that you can live the life in Christ that He died to give you. Jesus isn't interested in crowds, y'all. He's interested in disciples. And He's not recruiting fans, he's calling followers. He didn't stop at metaphor and strong language. He goes straight into two parables, okay? He brings it home. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost? And then he goes into suppose a king is about to go to war. Won't he first sit down and consider if he's able to? So this is Jesus saying, hey, do not sign up for this thinking that this is this one-time prayer and then sunshine and roses and you're good. I gave my life to God. Everything's great, right? He's saying stop, 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 stop. Think, are you ready for this? You don't build a tower on good vibes. We don't walk into war unprepared. And you don't follow Jesus without understanding what you are surrendering. Following Jesus does not ask for a moment of your time. So when we decide we're following Jesus, it's not that moment. He's asking for the direction of your life, and that's going to change. And just because we've gotten through life this far, like, well, I've been able to be, it doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that we don't need a wake-up call. It doesn't mean that we can't get back in further and understand what is going on and what He needs from us. Jesus is not trying to scare us away, and I hope we all understand that. He's just being honest because what He offers is real, and it's weighty, and it's worth it, and it demands a response that's just as real. He's asking, will you really follow me? Will you trust me with your relationships and with your security and with your plans and with your reputation and your comfort and your daily choices? How we respond to everything, that is a direct reflection of Christ, or our walk with Him, rather. If it's snapping at the kids because they just are ready to make you put your head through a window again, like, all of these little things. And I'm not saying that we can't be human. We're human, okay? But are we seeking God in those moments? Do we understand that we need to? Do we even understand that in those tiny moments, we have to be seeking Him? Or is it only on the big things? Who I'm going to marry? What job I'm going to have? If I'm going to take this, or are we seeking Him in all the things? Because that's what carrying the cross is. That's where it gets rough. Jesus is saying, don't start this walk thinking it's half in and half out. You got 1 foot in Pennsylvania, 1 foot in Ohio. You can do that, but it's not suggested. It's not good. Imagine getting engaged without planning for the marriage. I mean, I think we kind of all done that before, though. I'm like, oh, the wedding is going to be amazing. And we totally forget that, like, they leave their socks everywhere, and you got to deal with that, or leave the wet towels on the floor. Like, you don't think about that stuff. You know, you pick a ring and you throw the party and you post the perfect picture, but you don't think about the daily sacrifice and the forgiveness that comes along with it, and the shared finances and the parenting and the future. Maybe it's not parenting. Maybe it's something else. That's not love. That's a fantasy. And too many people do that with Jesus. I've done it with Jesus. I've done it. We like the idea of him, but we're not ready to walk that walk that comes after the yes. He doesn't want our temporary inspiration. He wants our daily surrender, because we cannot follow Jesus and stay the same. You cannot follow Jesus and stay the same. I can't do it. None of us can do it. Nobody can follow Jesus and stay the same. That's not how it works. But what does everything in our life look like? Like, what does that mean? You can lose everything. What does that mean? Because I live in Western America, and, you know, like, it, well, the Western world in the United States of America. You know, we're not getting put into prison because we met today. You know, we don't have to worry about going out and, like, well, I gotta go to jail now because we met for church. You know, what does it look like? Because when he ends this whole moment with the line, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Everything. We want to follow Jesus, but we also want to hang on to control. And we want to hang on to security and approval and our image, because that's everything, right? Our timeline, the future that we had planned. I had a certain future planned, and it's not going accordingly, so I'm out. The habits that comfort us, those habits that comfort us, you know what they are? I'm not going to give examples. The sins that we think that we've hidden well. The cost is going to look different for each one of us. For some, it's comfort. For others, it's reputation. Some, it might be a strained relationship or two. And for some of us, I think that feeling of terrifying, like of being terrified, stepping into the calling or the following of Christ, it can be very terrifying. But I can't carry my cross and my ego at the same time. And I don't think other people can either. You have to pick one. I have to pick one. We have to pick one. Like I said, the cost is sometimes not as dramatic as persecution. It's very subtle. We live in a world that says, honestly, we live in a life of distraction. Let's be honest. We're consistently being distracted, consistently, all the time, no matter what we do, no matter where we are. The world is fighting for our attention, okay? And it's this life of distraction and self-evaluation and busyness for the love of everything. Like the busyness and convenience. And a world that tells you to listen to your heart. You do you, boo. You know, and put yourself first, trust your gut, be true to you. That's completely opposite of what Jesus says. Jesus says, okay, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And if he's saying that, but the whole world is saying something different, it's going to be a little difficult, okay? It's going to be difficult. It's a different way of living, but, well, you can't do it. Okay, and I think that's we need to understand that too. We can't do this. Like, I can't, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna follow Jesus, I'm gonna do it by myself. No, you can't. That's why he's there. I want to talk about carrying your cross on the days when nothing is going right. Real quick. So the day, say a 24-hour period. In one 24-hour period, you lose your wallet in a different state than where you live. You dump about 2 gallons of old, dirty dumpster water on your feet while you're wearing flip-flops. You get 2 hours of sleep for the third night in a row. You have a project for work or your internship that you need to get finished. But as soon as you finally find some quiet time alone to dedicate to it, your computer mouse dies. And then after you get new batteries for it, your computer keyboard stops working. And the charger for it somehow disappeared. And your kids need all the things, and you're just plain exhausted and overwhelmed. So you cry in the car while you're driving around a town that you don't live in while looking for your wallet. And you begin to wonder if you're even supposed to be doing any of this. I think that might be the cross. I think carrying a cross doesn't always look like being bold in a crowd. Sometimes it looks like whispering through tears, "Jesus, please help me," in a parking lot of Aldi and Fenton, which is where I was yesterday, because that was my 24 hours yesterday. I think sometimes your cross, carrying a cross, looks like not giving up and not running away. It looks like choosing obedience when you're completely and utterly empty. It looks like choosing humility when you feel like a fraud. And it looks like realizing that I literally cannot do this without him. And I think the moment that we stop relying on ourselves, that's when we can start clinging to Christ. So we repent enough to be forgiven, but do we surrender enough to be changed? Let's think about that. We repent enough to be forgiven, but do we surrender enough to be changed? That line has been just in my ear hole all week. It's one thing to be sorry, but it's another thing to be surrendered. Jesus isn't looking for guilt, he's looking for transformation. So let's break this down. Counting the cost. What does that mean? It means doing inventory. We do it in our houses. We do it, spring cleaning or whatever. We're going through the cupboards, things that have been in the back since, 2019, or, stuff that's everywhere. Kids, when you got kids, all that stuff. When you've lived at a place for longer than a year, stuff just happened. Do an inventory. So right now, this is an internal inventory, and it's never too late to do it, and it's necessary, and I think this is a wake-up call to all of us. Doing inventory, we need to ask ourselves, what am I holding on to that competes with Jesus? What are you holding on to right now that is competing with Jesus? And only you know. Where am I still trying to stay comfortable? Where are you still trying to stay comfortable at? What do I avoid because it might cost me too much? What are you avoiding today because it just might cost you too much? We need to start with prayer. Honest, unfiltered time with God. Sitting with the Word, and that's hard in this world. It's hard. Consistently. It'll be easy. It'll be easy to do it today. All right. And it might even be easy to do it tomorrow, maybe the rest of the week. But it's not beyond that. We know that. Be willing to be searched. If you're willing to be searched, that means you're willing to allow God to change you. That's uncomfortable. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me." And I think that's a good place to start with some prayer. We got to let go of spiritual autopilot. This is not about performing. It is about surrendering. Autopilot feels safe, though. It's familiar, and it lets us guide through our faith without a whole lot of turbulence. We show up. We sing the songs. We serve. We nod at the right times. Deep down, though, if we're honest, we're coasting. Some of us are just coasting. And you know what? You can actually coast for a really long time and look like you're flying. That is possible. You can do that. I've done it. We do it. But Jesus doesn't call us to coast. He calls us to carry. We're not called to coast. Like, our lives are going to be over like that. And how much of our time as a follower of Christ have we spent coasting? He didn't say, if anyone wants to follow me, let them coast and into comfort and cruise right into heaven. He said, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. This, again, it's calling us back to this. It's not one time. It's this daily thing. And it's not just these big moments in the days. It's every moment of every day. And I know that's not realistic, but we have to try to get it big, because if we say, oh, every once in a while, it's not, you do it. Autopilot faith is safe, but it's stagnant. It's junk. It makes us look religious, but leaves us so terribly unchanged. And actually, it could possibly even go change for the worse. I don't know. I didn't think that far into it or pray about it. But in the end, it becomes this slow spiritual sleepwalking. Autopilot is about appearance. Surrender is about transformation. What do you want? Do you want appearance or do you want transformation? You got to answer that in your heart, and you got to make that commitment, and you got to give that to God, because only you can make that choice if you want appearance or transformation. And I, you know, that I struggle with that. I grew up in this society that is all about, like, what do you look like? What does your stuff look like? What are you doing? What are people going to think about you? Consistently. And so it's kind of difficult to do this. But it helps a little bit. It takes the sting away a little bit to know that Jesus wants my heart. Because again, you can't get transformation unless you're at the heart. And when you're at transformation of the heart, appearance has nothing to do with it. He wants your yes when it's messy. Even when it costs something. Even when you're exhausted and wondering if you're even cut out for this anymore. I'm pretty sure we've all thought that one time. Am I even supposed to be doing this in my life anymore? Anything, job, kids, family, spousing, you don't know. Another opportunity is to surrender to Him. Are we practicing a faith that performs or a faith that surrenders? It's like, so yes, this has happened. So when you're driving and you have driven for 10 minutes and all of a sudden you're like, hey, how the heck did I get here? I don't even remember. Like, were my hands on the wheels? Did I black out? Did I go into a black hole? Like, where, what happened? And you're just like there. All of a sudden, okay, this is weird. Like, your mind wasn't present. And that's what autopilot faith looks like. It looks like we are in control. But spiritually, we're asleep at the wheel. It's like, okay, yep, Jesus, praise Him, amen, gotcha. Jesus, I think, and the Holy Spirit here is like shaking us gently, saying, hey, wake up. This road leads to the cross, but on the other side of death is real life. We need to be a place, the church needs to be a place where people are not just welcomed, but challenged. And that's difficult too, because again, we're so loving. We're like, oh, everybody, you know, we just want to love you. And Jesus was love. Yes, He was love. Of course He was love. But I don't think that, you know, I think our wires have gotten crossed. We just think that love is like, oh, you just want to be asleep at the wheel. That's fine. Okay, we do you. Jesus loves you. That's not okay. We know that though, but it's uncomfortable. But if we take that to God, He can get us through. We can all get through it together. A church that doesn't call people to count the cost is just creating spiritual fans. Hyphen is not that church. We are not a church that calls people to be fans. Okay? And together, we show the world something countercultural. It's this faith that's not built on hype, but it's holiness. And it's not comfort, but it's conviction. And it's not consumerism, but it's the cross. We got to stop playing it safe. And when we do, our community is going to reflect costly, inconvenient love. Safety is comfortable, but the cross is not. It's sacrificial. And following Jesus doesn't mean, it means that sometimes we don't get to keep our calendars or our comfort zones or our preferences of neat and tidy. So what if we stopped asking this week, what is the easiest? And we start asking, what is the most faithful? Where can I be more faithful this week? Because I'm telling you right now, if anybody asks us to do anything, like, I'm so daggone old at heart. I don't want to go anywhere past 6 p.m. I don't, you know, I'm like, well, what's it going to be like? You know, that's kind of bled over into almost everything in my life. And I find myself doing that whenever God is presenting me with an opportunity or something. Well, I don't know. It's not going to be easy. I'm very uncomfortable with that. And God knows that about me. We all have our things. And I get uncomfortable sometimes stepping out of that zone. We all do, hence it being a comfort zone. But I have that. Those are my moments where I have to give it to God, and I know we all have them. Don't ask what's comfortable or the easiest. Ask what's most faithful. We got to stop playing it safe, and we got to disciple one another by encouraging each other to press in and stay surrendered. We can't do this alone. He did not design us. He did not design his church to be a crowd of individuals. He made it a body. So that means we need each other. As weird and uncomfortable as that is, we need each other. And not just today, not just on Sundays, but we need each other for accountability and prayer and truth giving and grace giving. We need each other to remind us of the why and the how, because sometimes I don't know why or how. None of us, you know, we all go through that. I think we'd be lying. We say, oh no, I just know everything and everything. Yep, everything's perfect. No, that's not true. We all have questions, but we need to be able to depend on one another to say, hey man, this is rough, but this is why you signed up for this. And this is how we can get through this together. And it's through God. We gotta stop playing it safe. We got to disciple one another by encouraging, and we got to live like Jesus is worth everything because he is. At the end of the day, that's what all this is about. And if Jesus really is who he says that he is, which he is, he's our Lord and he's our Savior, and he is our King and he is our friend, then he's worth every single hard yes. He's worth every single exhaustion and frustration that you have in the discomfort. He is worth every single bit of it. And he died for you to be able to have that choice. We got to stop living our lives like Jesus is just a part of it and start living like he is our life, because he is. And none of this is about perfection. None of it. It's about pursuit. It's about pursuit. And Jesus is right there with us as we keep saying yes when it's shaky and gross and disgusting and uncomfortable. Let's not follow from a distance. Let's not settle for being fans. We're going to be disciples, and we're going to count the cost. We're going to count all of it. The ugly and the scary and the uncertain, and this, and that sacrifice might stretch us further than we think that we can go. Let's be honest about what it might take. Get it all in. Think about it. Even if you've been a Christian your entire life, we all need these wake-up calls. So get all that in there. Think about it. Pray about it. And then choose Jesus anyway. Don't do it because it's easy, because it's not. But he's worth it, because in the end, there's no safer place than surrender.